Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Christina. Welcome to the What You Next podcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am the USA Today bestselling author of Behind Every Lie and The Night Olivia Fell, which has been optioned for television by a major Hollywood studio, and my newest book, Do No Harm. I've written for a number of newspapers. I started out as a journalist, so I've worked for the Sunday Times in Dublin, usatoday.com, Expedia, lots of different websites and newspapers. I started out in Seattle, that's where I'm from, and I got my BA in communications from the University of Washington, and then I moved to Ireland, Galway, and I got an MA in journalism from the National University of Ireland.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So how did your journalism inform you to your writing?
Oh, so much. I mean, in journalism, you have to listen to the story. You have to be prepared to listen to what the plot is and to put it in a coherent way that people will be interested in reading it. I mean, the difference obviously is now I make up the story, whereas before I was completely limited to just the facts. You have to be very responsible. Facts are important, but with writing a story, with writing a fiction story, you know, your imagination is limitless, so you can go anywhere. But definitely being trained in journalism, it helped me so much in being able to find the story, to understand character motivations, and to just write to a deadline, to be able to do that. I mean, that's a huge skill.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially when you're publishing books like on a yearly basis, like you want to be able to write on a deadline.
You have to be so disciplined.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah. Were you always a reader or do you want to be a writer? Which one came first?
I think, I'm not sure which came first. It's kind of a chicken and egg thing, I think. When I was a kid, we used to go to the library a lot. So I would always be begging my mom, please, please, can we go to the library? And then when we'd go, I would check out stacks and stacks of books. And then I'd finish them, you know, within the week. And I'd be like pleading my mom again, can we go? Can we go? And then when I was about 10 years old, our house caught on fire and we had to move out of the house. And it was in the middle of winter. And we lived in this motorhome, which was freezing. And because it was winter and it was freezing, after school every day, my mom would take us to the library. Mm-hmm. So we would do, you know, we'd have our snack there and we would do our homework there and we would read all day, all evening long. And it sounds like it should be a terrible memory, but actually it's a really good memory because I got to spend my evenings for this very prolonged period of my life in a library. And it was a massive, massive escape for me. And I loved it. And I read so many books. And so I've always been a reader. When I knew that I wanted to be a writer, I don't think there's any one moment where I was like, ding. I think it's just been, you know, when I was a kid, I used to write stories for my sisters. I wrote this story. I used to write fairy tales for them. And one story I wrote, one of the first ones I wrote, was about the girls with golden hair. And it was about these girls who had golden hair and they wanted sweets and chocolate. And so they went on this mission to try to find how they could get their sweets. And then one day they magically learned that their hair was actually real gold. And so they cut their hair off and took it to the bank and got lots of money to buy sweets with. So obviously my writing needed some work, but that, I mean, I've always done that. I've always written, even as a kid, I wrote stories for my sisters. And then when I got older, I wrote for the school newspaper and then I went into journalism. And from there I went into digital copywriting. So it's kind of always just been something in me that I like expressing myself that way. And I like telling stories. So whether that's been as a journalist, you know, nonfiction, or now as an author telling fiction, I've just always had that in me.
I love this. And so what was your journey to publication?
I think every author has a traumatic a journey to publication. You know, it seems like we just one day have a book and it's just there. But there's always, you know, many, many manuscripts that sit in a drawer somewhere. Mm. And beyond that, many, many manuscripts that are still in the author's head. So I think it started when one year I was having a conversation with, it was on New Year's, and I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law, and I told him this story idea I had, and he said, you should write that down. You should write a book. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to, it'll be my New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. And I never make New Year's resolutions. So it was quite funny. I wanted to do it. So I sat down and I wrote that book, and it took me a long time. It took me maybe a year. So maybe the next year, then I sent it out on submission to agents, and I submitted almost 100 times. It was over 90 times to different agents. Yeah, that same book, just to different agents. And I did eventually get an agent, and I was so excited. And she took it out on submission to publishers, and it didn't sell. Mm-hmm. So to have a book finally get to that level and then not sell is devastating. But I think what that showed me was that actually I do really want this. So I sat down and I wrote another book, and the same thing happened again. So it was just, at that point, I was like, I don't know if this is for me. Should I keep going? Should I stop? Mm-hmm. And I did really want it. So I sat down and I wrote a third book. And I realized then that it's not really, when you're writing, it's not really about being motivated. It's about being dedicated. You have to show up every day. You have to put those words down. And eventually, be it, you know, 1 month to 10 years, eventually you will have a book. And from that book, you can edit it and you can craft it. But it does take a lot of time and a lot of dedication. So that third book I sent out to new agents to find a new agent for that specific genre. And I found a new agent, and that was the night Olivia fell, and she took it out to publishers, and it was in a bidding war between two publishers. So, I mean, I think it was just a lot of having to experience failure in order to see that actually that is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I feel like the publishing, you know, just writing books like takes such a big feat, and then you are faced with so many rejections, like it just kind of like gets to the point where we're like, to really want it, and you know, it's yeah, like just having the stamina to just go through it.
Definitely. I think writing, being an author, is certainly at first, it's more a labor of love than anything else. You're just doing it because you love it and you want it so much. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard to sit down and write 100,000 words. You need to make sure you want to write that book before you set out to write your 100,000 words or so.
I love this. And so you write thrillers, but there's some somewhat character driven, you know, thrillers. What was like, is that the genre you wanted? Do you read the genre, or what was about the genre that inspired you to write it?
So when I first sat down to write The Night Olivia Fell, I actually did not intend necessarily to make it a suspense or a thriller. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't really know enough about the process to really choose, to specifically choose. And now I do know, and I know that when you're writing, you have to be clear about your genre. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that when I first sat down to write it. I had to do a lot of edits and craft it to become that first. Mm. And I learned through doing, I took lots of classes. I read lots of books on how to write. I read books on how to screen write, which is a different type of writing. Mm-hmm. But I just, and I read and read and read, and I noticed that the more books I read and the more kind of focused I got, I was reading all in the suspense and thriller genre. So it made sense that that book ended up being in the suspense and thriller genre, because usually when you love to read something, you're also going to love to write it. And then when I realized that, I was able to do edits that made it a lot more successful for that genre. I was able to kind of hit those beats that you need to hit when you're writing. And that made it a lot clearer to me. And then I started going, okay, I see what I'm doing here. And this is the genre that I love and the genre that I want to write in.
I love this. Yeah, I think it's like a process of discovering genre, and like even then learning about the genre itself, like learning about the beats, the specifics, the things that people are looking for, you know, as a consumer, you know, and then as a writer creating that experience for the consumer.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true.
I love this. So how do you develop your characters? Do they come to you? Like, what's the process like for the characters?
So my characters are mostly, they start out being based on plot. So whatever my kind of basic idea is for a plot, and I'm not a plotter, so I don't really have a very clear idea of what's going to happen in the story, but I generally have kind of an idea of what the plot, at least the kind of through line, what is the goal of the main character? Mm-hmm. I have that as a general idea in my head. And what I'll do then is I will create a character that will have a backstory and maybe a family and friends and maybe, you know, painful things that she's experienced that will make that plot, that she will struggle with that plot. She needs to, you know, she or he, but so far most of my characters have been she's. Yeah. They have to struggle, right? Otherwise there's no tension in the story. So I create a character based on what the plot is about, and I create their whole background and their whole life, this whole round, well-rounded person that will struggle with this plot. And then from there, I just kind of get going on the story. I don't really worry too much about the details, like, you know, does she have curly hair or straight hair? I don't worry about those sorts of things, because as I write, because I'm not a plotter, as I write, the character kind of becomes more well-formed in my head. And then I start to see the person and sometimes hear them through dialogue, and they become a really well-rounded person. So that by the end of that book, well, the first draft, these people are very, very real to me, and I can really, they're three-dimensional. So then I can kind of go back and do edits that will make that person, that character, more alive and show more depth to them.
So it's a process of exploration. It's just like seeing how the character unfolds itself and then tighten up a notch in the second, third, or whatever, having rounds of edits, you know, like.
I love that. Yeah. It's a process of exploration. That's exactly what it is.
I love this. Yeah. Because I feel like your books are like so character driven, and I'm always curious. I'm like, how do they come to, you know, to you? Like, cause it's like, there's suspense and there's some beats, but the characters are what driving the beats.
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Cause I want them to, I don't want it just to be a story. For me, when I read books, I love it when I am really connected with the character. That makes the story so much more powerful and impactful. So I want to create these characters that drive the story, and that when my reader closes the book, can feel like maybe they could meet this character on the streets, or maybe go for a drink with them, or do you know what I mean? Like, just they feel three-dimensional, like real people, not wooden stick figures that something is happening to. I want it to feel authentic.
Yeah, they feel like people I would hang out or don't want to hang out with. I'm like, I don't know what I feel, but it's a three-dimensional person that has like a family, a friends, and backstory, and there's a more, and there's a driven, there's something driving them to take those actions. So
yeah,
I love this. So let's talk about Do No Harm. What was the source of inspiration?
So Do No Harm is set amidst the backdrop of the opioid epidemic. And I've wanted to set a book against that for a while, because I've watched my own brother struggle with addiction for most of my adult life. So in that way, it's quite personal to me. And, you know, I have a lot of feelings and emotions that I try to convey into the pages of this book. I mean, let me be clear. The story is completely fictional. I've made it up. There's nothing real in here. Mm-hmm. But definitely, you know, some of my own experiences with watching my brother and his struggle with addiction, some of those experiences have absolutely gone into these pages. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that I wanted to showcase some of how I feel about this crisis. Mm-hmm. And then one day I was reading a story in the news about a podiatrist in Indiana who had he'd been arrested for setting up an opioid ring. And it just really got me thinking about what would drive somebody, what is the motivation for a doctor, any kind of doctor, to do that amidst this sort of a national crisis? Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about motivations and what would drive somebody to do that. Was it power or status or money? And the only sort of motivation I could really understand in any way was love, because I would do anything for my children, for my family. So then I was started to think about a character who might do that, who might set up an opioid ring, but maybe had a good reason for doing it. And so we can kind of, as a reader, we can ask ourselves, do the ends justify the means, as she's going through this process of doing these very dodgy things, but for a good reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the fact that it was like, there's a purpose behind it. So what are you working next, actually?
I can't really talk too much about what I'm working on now because it's still in the early stages. Like we haven't told it to a publisher yet. So it's just so early that I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Okay. So how's it been writing the pandemic actually?
Yeah. So I can talk about that for sure. Yeah, so
let's talk about that.
I have written a book and it's been very, very difficult to write during the pandemic because I have two young children and I have to homeschool them and you cannot possibly, I don't know anybody that can create while also homeschooling children. So I've had to sort of push that writing, that need to write to the side while I focus on my kids. And, but I did realize very early on that this was going to happen, that I wanted to write, but I needed to teach my kids and be there for my kids. So the only way that I could see that being a possibility so that I could have the two things that I wanted and needed, creating that tension, that inner tension in me, was to get up really early every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and just carve out 3 hours of my own time and write. And so I did that. And I did that for months and months and months. And eventually I did finish a book. So I finished it. I conquered.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. But it was so hard. I mean, to be that, I'm not a morning person at all. Yeah. So getting up at 5 in the morning and I didn't allow myself any screen time, any news, any social media, just me and my laptop and a cup of tea. And I would write for 2 to 3 hours every morning. And that sort of self-discipline is not something that I actually knew that I had. I mean, I know I'm a very self-disciplined person, but that was just taking it to a whole new level. So I hope I don't have to do that again. I hope that we will come out of lockdown because here in London where I am, we're still in lockdown. And I'm hoping that we can come out of lockdown and things will start getting back to normal a little bit. The kids can go back to school because they definitely are missing, you know, their peers. And but so I'm hoping that will happen and I can write a next book in normal circumstances. But I do now know that I can do it. So that's good to know.
So what was your writing process like before lockdown? Like, did you write in a coffee shop? You write at home? Like, what was that process?
I always write. I have a desk in my bedroom. I have a little setup with a bookshelf and a chair and a desk and lots of plants and flowers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my husband would take the kids to school and I would get immediately to writing because I find that my brain is the most fresh first thing in the morning. So I would get straight to writing and I would write, you know, most of the day. And then the afternoon I would do like some marketing things. I would do maybe author interviews and book, you know, reading reviews for that. And then I'd go get my kids from school. So I had a chunk, like, you know, a good 6 hours every Monday to Friday to work. So most of my writing was confined to weekdays and when the kids were at work. But I think the important thing is that I had the slice of time and peace to be able to create. And that's been more difficult to find with all of us in one house.
Yes, I can imagine. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let's hope that, you know, in the next few months, once the vaccine is out in the open and the kids go down, that things start to go back to normal.
Yes.
Somewhat, you know, like it may never go back to 2019, but let's hope 2021 and 2022 will be, you know, more open.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So, what has been a book that you read and that you can't stop gushing about or you're excited to share?
Oh, so many books. But one that I can't stop gushing about is one I actually read last summer. It's called How to Save a Life. It's by Liz Fenton and Lisa Stenke. It's like a suspense / woman's fiction. Mm-hmm. It's about a guy called Dom who is just paralyzed with regret over breaking up with his girlfriend Mia 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then one day when he's at a cafe, he runs into her again and he asks her out on a date, thinking that he can kind of get back this girl who he, you know, the one that got away. But that night on their date, she dies. And he becomes caught in this Groundhog Day like time loop in which every day he tries desperately to save her life and every day he fails and she continues to die. And every day the same thing happens over and over and over. And he's just caught in this loop. And it's just so unique. And it's just like this really beautiful reimagining of Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. And it asks if life and death are preordained or if our destiny is predetermined. And if, you know, maybe some lives are meant to be saved. And it's just, it's kind of poignant and bittersweet, but it's actually really quite uplifting as well. And I found myself reading, like, you know, when you read a book and some parts are so beautiful that you reread those passages. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was absorbing and flawless and irresistible. I think everybody should read it because it has that tension of a suspense, but then, you know, the emotion that, you know me, I love the emotion. So I was very drawn to the story.
I love this. I love this so much. Yeah, that's working on my TBR. I really want to talk to Lise and Lisa. Like, they seem like so much fun to chat with.
Yeah, they're great. They're so fun.
Yeah, so I love this. So tell us where we can find you online.
So I'm online. I'm kind of everywhere. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm at ChristinaMac79. And then on Facebook, I'm at Christina McDonald Author. And then I also am online on my website, Christina-McDonald.com. And there I have a book club that readers can join. And I do author interviews and signed giveaways of the author's books every month. And it's really fun. It's a really great place for readers to go and just kind of hang out and get emails about their favorite authors and get, you know, a chance to win signed copies of their books. But yeah, I'm kind of everywhere.
I love this. Thank you, Christina, for being in the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. It's been an honor being here.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.